to wherever you are. I'm Ryan McNeil in Toronto, Canada. You're listening to part one of Wicked Little Town. It is the Audio Dispatches, the matinee cast offshoot from TIFF, the Toronto International Film Festival. This is the 38th Toronto International Film Festival happening right now in my hometown. It sounds a little loud around us. We're in the lobby of the Lightbox, the heart of it all. And I have a guest. I have a first-time guest across from me, Douglas Robinson. How are you, sir?
I'm good.
Welcome to Toronto. This is your first time here, right?
Yes.
At all, let alone the festival.
Yeah, exactly. First ever time I've been here, and it's fun so far.
That's good. I want to start actually with like introducing you and where people can find you, because people don't listen to the end of this shit. That's what I found out, right? Okay. So you can be heard weekly on the Monday Movie Podcast. You can find that in all the usual places, in iTunes and Podcatcher and whatever else you happen to use. And people, if they wanted to follow you on Twitter to find out what you think of film and what you think of football, because you tweet about both, of course.
I tweet about all sorts of things, yeah.
Where can people find you on Twitter?
Well, my Twitter is DJR lost his name, so can find me there.
Cool. So we've had a double Eisenberg day. This is actually strange for me as well. We just saw two movies in the same cinema, not even the same theater, but the same room, starring the same man.
Yeah.
But we're going to talk about one of them. The two that we saw was we began the movie the night, or the night. It's Monday. I barely know what time it is. I know if it's bright outside or dark outside, but barely even that is going. This afternoon, we saw Kelly Reichardt's film Night Moves, which is about some environmental activist, but we'll talk about that in a second. And we just came out of the double, which I got the impression, because I was sitting next to you, that you quite enjoyed.
Oh, yes, I did.
Directed by, I can't even pronounce his name.
Richard Ayoade.
Yeah.
Actually, I used to pronounce it Ayo before a while ago.
Yeah, yeah.
I did not know. All I know is Mazi from the IT crowd.
Right.
I know him that way, you know?
Yeah, yeah. just briefly, because we're not going to talk about it too much, but what did you think of the double? I got the impression you dug
the
that.
Double? I absolutely adored the double. It kind of just draws from all of these movies that I love already. Fight Club, Brazil, The Apartment, all of those things kind of merged together and made one super movie.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was just like, yes, please, and give me more.
Yeah, I was right with you. I was leaning forward at one point. I was like, I cannot believe how much I am loving this movie. It's so kooky. It is a story we've seen before. It's Dostoevsky, for starters.
Yeah.
Right. So it's not exactly like it's an original script. But it's all in execution. You know, like I thought it was very handsome. I thought it was really really not, like wet, like eye pleasing, and all these little things that like Mia Wasikowska was doing, and that Eisenberg was doing twice.
Yeah.
Because he has, it's him and he plays his own like doppelganger.
Right.
I was loving it all. I was soaking up all of that. So I'm glad to know.
He did that very well. I love, actually, there were some times where they didn't necessarily say exactly who was who, and I hope at least that I could tell which one was which.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, yeah, I'm with you. Yeah. They're not exactly, like, they're dressing the same. Like, when I say he's a doppelganger, like, right down to the threads.
Yeah.
Right? So you would think that you have to be paying a lot of attention to get that differentiation, but you don't, actually. That's the cool thing. But we're going to talk about Night Moves. We're not really going to review it, because I feel like it's pointless to review a movie that our listenership has not seen yet. But it's by Kelly Reichardt, who is the director of Meek's Cut Off and Wendy and Lucy. She does a lot of stuff involving, like, very, she's a very outdoorsy director. And this movie is about three, I say eco-terrorists, apparently she does not like that term, who decide to blow up a dam in Oregon. And they're played by Peter Sarsgaard, Dakota Fanning, and again, Jesse Eisenberg. How did you like that movie?
I like the concept.
Okay.
Right? I think, honestly, it's one of those movies where I think I have to watch it again to sort of gauge if I really do like it or not. But right now, I'm not a big fan of it. Definitely not as big a fan as I am of The Double.
Okay.
And I think, honestly, the biggest thing for me on that movie was Jesse Eisenberg again. So Eisenberg was great in The Double. In this one, I kind of didn't get that feeling.
Really?
Because he was, so in this movie, he's supposed to kind of be this very quiet, introverted kind of guy who...
It's a real stretch.
Yeah, yeah. I don't care about that much, but you know, he's not extroverted. He doesn't talk to very many people. He doesn't socialize very well, and when he does it awkwardly, and then because of the type of person he is, you know, he's put under a lot of stresses, and eventually he needs to explode at some point in time.
Yeah.
And I just didn't get that feel from him. He didn't quite pull it off.
No.
And I think that was probably the thing I didn't like about it. Because to tell you the truth, everything else I love about this movie. I mean, Rijkaard, I love Meeks Cut Off. I haven't watched Wendy and Lucy yet, but it looks great.
Did you watch Old Joy?
No, I've only watched Meeks Cut Off.
Okay, okay.
I love Sarsgaard in almost everything that he does. And the movie itself, the story, is actually a really good story. You know, it try not to give much away, but just, you know, it doesn't really focus too much on the event. It's all about, you know, consequences and how do people deal with that.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's a pretty fun way to look at things. Actually, I watched watched Southcliff before, which is pretty similar, and I love that. So it's, I don't know. I have to really
revisit
it
when your head's a little clearer.
Yeah.
That is the one thing that, like, I've gone on record before as saying the thing that's difficult during film festivals is to really get an accurate gauge of things, because we're not completely at our best. We're sleep deprived. we're overloaded with content.
Yeah.
So we're not necessarily looking at everything completely clearly. We can usually tell, like, and for better or for worse, like, there's sometimes where we bag on things that we come back to later and it's like, actually that was pretty good.
Yeah.
There's other times where we go nuts for stuff, we come back and thinking, what the hell was I talking about? But with Night Moves, the one thing I like, we both listen to Film Spotting, and of course their big mantra with judging a film's worth is the stakes. And the stakes in Night Moves is sky high, because it's not giving much away to say that half this movie revolves around a very large pile of explosives that's constantly being driven around, get away from the explosives, and any little thing that deviates the plan has huge consequences. And she's really good at bringing in just this little hiccup of it. Could, like, it could just be something as simple as somebody comes along, has no idea that they're throwing a wrench into the works.
Yeah.
And because of that, they're even more ambivalent about their presence there. And I love the way she does that kind of thing, that she's able to take something very minuscule and give it really, really great consequence. And she does, like, that was the thing. She does it a lot in Meek's Cut Off, but I felt like she did it even more in Night Moves. No? Just me? No?
Yeah, definitely. Because you see a couple of times one big, you know, moment where they're just like, whoa, what are we gonna do? This thing is, you know, all set, and we have a huge problem.
Yeah.
Just from one tiny detail, as they say.
Yeah.
And I guess I like how she deals with it a lot, because, you know, there's one time where, you know, you have to get, it's almost like a James Bond movie where you have to talk your way out of it. There's another time where all you can do is sit down and say, can we just, is there anything we can do? And the answer inevitably is kind of like, no, we're just going to have to cross our fingers and hope nothing,
yeah,
you know, hope this thing just goes away.
Yeah.
And
see, I can see already. I'm talking you into this. Look at this.
There you are. I'm upset about it.
The one other thing that we'll talk about before we kind of let it go is Dakota Fanning is in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of forget about Dakota Fanning every now and then, because she's been around so long. Like, we've watched her since she was, like, what, 5, 6?
About there, yeah.
You know, and now, like, she's...
She was one of the few child actresses that everybody was like, okay, that one. She kind of knows what she's doing.
Right, and I think that's the thing is, she's still around. She's still doing it well. She's growing with the parts very, very well, because that's always the danger with child actors, is you think, you know what, you got, like, 4 or 5 years worth of parts coming.
Yeah.
And then your name is Haley Joel Osment.
Right.
Right?
Which was so sad. I love that kid.
I know, right?
Did you watch Secondhand Lions?
No. Was he any good in that?
It was great. Okay. But anyway, that's another...
Was it better or worse than Red Belt?
Oh, come on. Okay,
I should fill people in. Douglas's brother, Andrew, G-Man Robinson, came to town, also for TIFF. I'm sure you'll hear him on mic at some point. And the first thing he did was he handed me a copy of Red Belt, because he heard I hadn't seen it. So
You know,
You need to, because that movie is amazing.
I'm sure. I have Red Belt in
I don't like every Mamet film, but that is definitely one of the good ones.
Okay. But the thing that's the back to Dakota Fanning, so she's in this, and it's kind of a sign that she's growing with her parts, she's choosing things that are going to work well, she's staying with it, and like it makes me very happy to see that, because I like what she does. There was talk a few years ago, like even just 2 or 3 years ago, which it seems like a long time, but and in the span of the lifespan of like a juvenile actor, it's a century.
Yeah.
Right? Like what she's doing at 15 is drastically what she's doing at 17 and 18. But there was talk when she did The Runaways. Did you see that movie?
Is that the one about the band?
Yeah.
I did not see the
movie. But there was talk at that time, it's like, you know, is she too soon? Is this something that she's going to be able to do? Yeah. We've seen her since she was a child. Are we going to be able to think about her this way? And I think for me, certainly after having watched, there was talk at the time that maybe we should just all move over to Elle Fanning and follow her along, right? And I do like what Elle Fanning does.
Yeah.
But after seeing her in Night Moves, I like what she's doing. Like, I think she's kind of taken this Jodie Foster approach to her career. I don't know that she's going to go away for a while like Jodie Foster did. But I like the way that she's growing with her parts. No? Did you?
Well, I think she was pretty decent in this movie. I like something. It's a weird thing that I like about her role. I think so. She ends up having this bad reaction to stress. She has like a physical reaction.
She's a breakdown. She's like post-traumatic stress, basically.
But throughout the film, I don't know if you noticed, but from the get-go, you'd see her just kind of nonchalantly scratch her arm or her neck.
Okay.
And slowly but surely it got worse and worse until in the end you saw, you know, it's essentially all inflamed and red. But just something as simple as that she knew that she had to give certain cues at certain times that, hey, something about me is changing throughout this movie.
Yeah.
You know, and I really like that.
I do.
The most about her role, I don't know why.
What's that?
I really don't know why.
Subtle touch, right?
Yeah.
It's one of those things, and she sells it. So Night Moves, I don't know when it's coming out. I think it's probably going to be something, like, if I'm reading the tea leaves right, I imagine it'll probably be this spring. It might show up in big places like this fall.
Yeah.
But I didn't come armed. I'm a failure as a host, really.
Let me tell you this. It should come out in big places because I actually saw the trailer come out on the regular YouTube channels as opposed to the TIFF channel.
Okay.
So it must be coming out somewhere.
Right.
Right?
We're suddenly being audited by a lot of people who are moving heavily.
Is this what a podcast looks like?
Yes, it is. And you shouldn't talk, sir, because we did one just like this earlier.
I don't know. I am a professional. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, sorry. You use an Android phone and not an iPhone. Is that what you say?
That's the difference. Yes.
That's mean. That's mean, sir.
I want to talk to you and ask you about the festival on the whole.
Yeah.
So as I said earlier, this is your first time in Toronto, first time at TIFF.
Right.
Is this your first like full-on film festival as well?
It is, yes.
Okay, and how are you taking to it for like just in a general sense?
Well, I was actually a bit concerned at first because even though I love movies, I love watching movies, I've never watched, say, 5 or 6 movies at the same time on the same day
in a theater
and have to run from, you know, one place to the next, and I'm actually really digging it. I am watching great movies, I mean, and enjoying the whole vibe, the city vibe, and the fact that I don't have to go to this rinky-dink theater back home. Carib, you know I'm talking about you.
Well, that's the funny thing, because I told you when I first met you and I was talking about this venue that we're in right now, the Lightbox, I said to you, it's going to feel like going home. And you said, wait, how do you mean that? You know, like you were worried. And I mean, no, home in a good sense, you know, like a warm feeling, a loving environment.
Yeah.
And you had this look of dread. What are some of the things you've seen besides the Eisenberg?
Well, the big standout is Bruce Norman's Color.
Oh, yeah?
I absolutely adore that movie.
Which is funny because you're sort of in the minority this week. I've been hearing a lot of dissent about Blue is the Warmest.
They are all wrong.
Okay.
That movie is so good. I think the best part of that movie is, and it's probably because I like the movies that I like. It's French. The soundtrack is great. So all of a sudden, I'm biased. But it's really just a spotlight on this one actress and how great she is.
Okay.
And that, to me, is just wonderful. You know?
Yeah. Any others?
Yeah, I've seen The Double is a big standout. Also, The Sacrament by the new Ty West movie.
Right.
I was actually, it was weird because I watched it only because I think House of the Devil is his other movie, or one of them.
Yeah.
And I really love that one. And I was like, okay, I'll go, you know, enjoy myself and have a fun horror movie time. It really isn't a horror movie.
Okay.
It's more, you know, tension filled, nobody has to saw off their legs. It has the classic horror movie setup, but without the horrorness to it.
Okay.
It's, you know, all just,
that fills me with hope. I am seeing that later. So that's the other cool thing is you get kind of tip offs, and the funny thing about that during a festival is that can work either in your benefit or against you,
mm-hmm.
because sometimes somebody will try and talk you out of something.
Yeah.
And then it becomes a choice. It's like, okay, how much do I trust this person? You know, how much does this person's taste align with my own that I should take their word that, no, I need to skip out on this, or yes, I need to make this a priority. So it's good to know. I don't actually know how much our tastes overlap. Like, I'm sure in a general sense they do.
Yeah.
But that's good, because I'm seeing that late too. I don't see that until like Friday.
Oh, okay.
So that's good. Has there been any surprises for you, like of the experience on the whole of being here? Something that you didn't expect that's kind of jumped out at you from the film festival?
Well, from the physical aspect of it, not really. I mean, you know, it's big city. Transit is what I expected.
Have you gotten lost yet?
No, I have not.
Okay.
I actually tweeted out and got no response from Andrew that I actually found the place where he got lost at and went there on purpose. And not only did I go there on purpose, I also got bubble tea from Chinatown.
Well done.
I mean, two birds on one stone.
Nicely done.
Which is great.
But surprises?
The biggest surprise, I think, well, I don't know how much of a surprise it is. I kind of put all of my bets in the Elizabeth Olsen basket.
Okay.
Because I love her to death from Martha Marlene. And I went to watch Therese, which was not that good. It was kind of just average.
Oh, no. And you know what? The last time I heard you on mic, that was like the alpha and omega your festival. So that's not a good surprise.
No, it's not. It's not. But you know what? I have to... I knew going in, it probably wouldn't be as great as I put it up there. But it's just one of those things, you get sad that it wasn't where you wanted it to be.
Yeah.
Also, A Spell to Ward Off the Darkness, which was another one of them up there, was a little bit strange. I don't think it was what I expected, but these things happen. And I definitely got way over surprised with this last one. So, you know, you got good surprises and bad surprises.
Yeah, that's
nice.
It's a mixed bag, especially because like how much prep did you do coming here? Because I know for me,
mm-hmm.
As soon as I found out the selling points of a film, I tuned out. So for instance, Night Moves, what we talked about earlier, I saw new film by Kelly Reichardt and just signed off.
Yeah.
Right? I could have read a full plot synopsis. I could have watched the trailer. I didn't. I just said, okay, I know, I'm in, I'm sold.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I just, at that point, I just marked that off and moved in. So when you were making your decisions, did you read like full descriptions? Did you watch trailers? Did you look around for like advanced word? Or did you just start going blind at these things?
I did a weird process, right? I did a bit of all three of those things, right? Because, you know, when I pick movies generally, a lot of the time I'm a crazy person. I just look at the poster. If the poster's pretty, I'll watch it.
Okay.
If the name is weird, I'll watch it. And like you, if there's somebody attached that I like, I'll watch it. But I also went to the TIFF YouTube channel and watched essentially like 30 or 40 trailers in one night and kind of had like a starter list.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? For some of those, I think I only read the full synopsis when, say, Andrew tried to talk me into a movie.
Okay.
And then I was like, okay, I remember not wanting to go. Why should I go to this film?
Right. I go through that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But a lot of the movies that I watched here, I don't really know much about. Like, I saw Wild Duck the other day. All I knew was there's hacking involved.
Yeah.
As with you, the Reichardt film, all I knew was Reichardt. It's, you know, a mixed match.
Nice. Well, we are happy to have you here, of course, both on the show and in Toronto and at the festival. However, I must close out on a particular note. Around this time, about a week from now, last year, I started putting out the hashtag Damien and Douglas do TIFF 2013. We now need to augment that hashtag to Damien does TIFF 2014.
Yes, we do.
And I put it on you. Okay. That man over in the corner got you here, yes, so now it's on you to get Douglas to get Damien here next year.
Okay.
And if you don't, I blame you. So
I will take that responsibility upon my shoulders.
There we go. Well, again, Douglas can be heard on the Unnamed Movie Podcast. You guys are going to be recording some stuff from here too, right?
Yeah, yeah. We've done one already, which hasn't gone out yet, and I'm sure we'll do a couple more.
Cool. Cool. And people can find that Unnamed Movie Podcast. You can find it on GeermanReviews.com and iTunes and all the usual places. Your Twitter handle, again, where people can find your stuff, is?
It's DJR, lost his name.
I'm Ryan McNeil. I'm on thematinee.ca, your home for cinematic passion and perspective. TIFF coverage is happening hard and fast all week, so just go to the main page and there's lots and lots there. There will be several more of these. I don't know exactly when they're going to be dropping, but I plan on probably about three more every other day until the weekend. You can follow me at Facebook, which is facebook.com/darkmatinee, and Twitter, of course, where I'm matinee_CA, and I'm tweeting lots and lots from this festival. So, once again, for Douglas Robinson, I'm Ryan McNeil. We'll see you at the matinee, and that's it. It's wicked.